Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows the only way you'd give a fresh and minted driver a brand new car is if he promises to never drive it. Instead, let him grind the gears and knock over the neighbor's mailbox in something a little more suited to his skill level. And with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, he can safely drive something that's nearly as old as he is. It's not perfect, but it's perfect for him. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Can he do it again? Mike did it. Billy stops. Pops. Billy got it off again. I'm back to back nuts.
Five seconds, no timeouts. Tyreek, at the hole.
Cousins gets a touch, and he helped out.
That is a marriage jam! DeMarcus Cousins nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the Kings Court Podcast, presented by SackKingsNation.com.
Hey, welcome to the Kings Court Podcast. This is your host, Joe Morgan. Joining me is, as always, Vince Miracle. It is 9 o'clock on a Sunday, February the 19th, and we're both sitting here blown away. So we're going to try to bring you guys some facts and figures and let you know what in the world is going on. But, Vince, go ahead. Tell them the news. If they haven't heard it yet, then I don't know what they're listening to.
Well, here on the now post of All-Star Game, after you just heard DeMarcus Cousins, or if you're tuned in on Twitter like we are, just say that he wants to stay in Sacramento, that he just wants to get through one All-Star weekend without rumors and blah, 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 blah. Well, probably about like 30 minutes after that was all posted and out from the media there in New Orleans, we just got breaking news. A hashtag Woj bomb just blew up on Sunday again at 9:30, where DeMarcus Cousins has now been officially traded. Well, not officially, but has been traded to the New Orleans Pelicans for absolutely nothing. For DeMarcus Cousins and Omri Cassidy has been traded to the New Orleans Pelicans for Langston Galloway, Tyreek Evans, and a 2017 first-round pick and a 2017 second-round pick, as well as Buddy Hield. I didn't mention Buddy Hield. So Galloway, Hield, Evans, and a first and second round pick in 2017, and that's it.
First in 2019 also.
No, the 2019 is off. That was misreported. It is to a first and second round pick in 2017, and that's it. No 2019 pick.
Okay.
That's from David Aldridge of NBA.com, who has reported that clearly 100%. And you know what? I'm just gonna get it like out of the way right now. This trade is ridiculous. This trade makes absolutely no sense. I know that there was a cloud over the Sacramento Kings with DeMarcus Cousins. We all did. We all knew that there was a question mark on if he was the guy to carry this franchise to that next level, if he was going to be the guy that took them out of their decade-long slump of potentially making the playoffs. Now, why is this trade dumb? It's not the fact that they traded DeMarcus Cousins. As you guys know, I'm okay with the Kings looking and hearing offers of trading DeMarcus Cousins. The reason why this trade is so dumb, and Ramona Shelburne summed it up clearly for me even more so on Twitter just a few minutes ago, saying that this offer that the Kings just accepted was the same offer they offered for Jahlil Okafor probably about a week back, and the Sixers said no for Jahlil Okafor. So that DeMarcus Cousins is on that level is just ridiculous. But they literally have done nothing to better themselves for the future other than the fact that they're saying, we're hitting the restart button a game and a half out of the eighth seed. That's all they've done. We're gonna hit the reset button, and you know, we've been saying we're not gonna trade Cousins. Cousins is our guy. We're gonna extend him. He's our guy. Blah, 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 blah. Actually, we are gonna trade him for absolutely nothing, and now all the GMs are gonna never trust us. All players are not gonna trust us because we'll publicly go out and say one thing but do something behind your back. So this trade made no sense. The timing absolutely made no sense. And the fact that they got this type of return for DeMarcus Cousins absolutely makes no sense. And this was a dumb deal from Sacramento Kings. But those are my initial reactions. Joe, how about you?
Well, I got a couple thoughts. And good God, I mean, I say a couple thoughts. I have a million thoughts. But one of them is they could just be renting him for 2 months because I don't know where he's going to go in free agency this year. Nobody does, obviously. He didn't think
he
was leaving
here. Why would he not want to stay in New Orleans?
I'm not saying he won't want to, Vince. I'm just saying it's an unknown, and it's That just blows my mind.
It's not unknown. It's not unknown. He's staying in New Orleans. Why would, there's no other franchise that can offer him over a $200 million contract, $219 million to be specific. I believe it's in that ballpark. Plus, you get to play alongside another All-Star who just won the All-Star MVP in the Brow. Plus, they're also going to be having the money to re-sign Drew Holiday because they also have expiring contracts. They're going to have $15 million extra after re-signing Boogie Cousins and Drew Holiday to play around and build that roster with the current contracts that they have. And that's even with still having Omer Oshik and Alexia Jensia on their roster. Well, this trade absolutely made no sense.
I'm looking at Andrew Rogers' Twitter feed right now. That's Boogie's manager. And his Twitter is, we don't even know where to go right now. They're still
stay there?
Yeah, they're still so confused about what just happened. I don't think anybody saw this coming. So we're going to end up, the Sacramento Kings are going to end up with a Rudy Gay who may or may not stay, with a bunch of picks, which I don't mean to be negative, but in the past has not worked for Sacramento. I will say this is a huge culture shift. They're no longer going to have one guy as the face of the franchise, and they're no longer going to have to bend and kowtow to whatever he wants. So that could be a really good thing, but my, oh my, is this just, I mean, this is not what I thought. I was in the middle of a game night with my family, and Vince called me and told me this, and I didn't even believe him. So we're kind of still, we're on the air as we read this stuff and as all of it comes in, but understand, those are, they got a protected pick. Top three protected. This is why the Sac Philly trade was so dangerous. Because now, if they try to tank this year, if the Kings tank this year, they still would have to trade with Philly for their higher round pick. Like, this is just, this could go so horribly wrong. And in true Kings fashion, it's hard not to see it going that way.
Look, I mean, again, I understand the reason why they had question marks on if they wanted to give DeMarcus Cousins that extension, right? Like, he has been a guy who, I think this is the first time ever you've seen it, a guy who gets to 17 technicals before the All-Star break, before even hitting February. To see him get suspended like that, it was just ridiculous. And you never knew where he was actually going to have that shift, that change. But what we did know was after this collective bargaining agreement, it's going to be hard for the Kings to acquire a superstar from any other team. Their best trade asset to get one was DeMarcus Cousins. And they had the option of either saying, hey, let's get somebody in return that can build – you can start building a little bit of a new culture around and then also start building through in the draft throughout the draft. And, you know, I was okay with the Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley, which would presumably be the value of a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, even with the temper tantrums. This guy is a franchise-changing talent. And now you're seeing that they didn't want to do that. They completely mishandled this situation, from saying that they're wanting to keep him, that they have his back, that he's their guy, to now turning that behind their back. And the fact that Andrew Rogers, who is, like you said, DeMarcus Cousins' agent, to tweet a picture saying, we don't even know where to go. Should we just stay in New Orleans? I mean, or do we go to Sacramento to grab our things and you guys are going to shake our hand and tell us that why you just lied straight to our face? I mean, there's even Kevin Smith who's showing more and more why he needed to be followed earlier. For those who haven't followed him yet, go follow him. Kevin Smith NBA, I believe, is his Twitter handle. You know, he's like, several GMs have already told him, or GMs and agents have already told him that they don't trust the Sacramento Kings' word anymore. You can't tell the player that they're your guy and then trade him away for pennies. You gave away a dollar for pennies. Like, it's in, and you look at the return, Joe. Look at the return. You get Tyreke Evans, who they've been limiting his minutes because of his knee. He's not the same Tyreke Evans from his rookie year. And even then, was he really that good? I mean, he was good. 25-5 is a great year, but was he really that good? If Buddy Hield, where, I mean, they must love him after punching DeMarcus Cousins in the nuts. So they must have thought he was ballsy. And they went and got him. They were really loving him on the draft. Now they got a shooter, which, again, makes no sense, because what are you going to do with Ben McLemore? Ben McLemore is obviously not going to be in the area anymore, because if Ben's going to be moved, or if they're not going to sign him a contract during a restricted free agency for him, they still got Brogdon Bogdanovich coming over next year, who they're super high on, and they want to start playing him. Plus, this is a guard-heavy draft. You know you're going to be getting a guard in this draft. What center or what forward are you looking at where you're saying, yep, this is the guy that's going to be for me? On top of that, you get Langston Galloway, who, yes, he's shown promising signs, but he's also shown where he's so inconsistent that you'd rather have a guy like Ty Lawson or Darren Collison in front of him right now. The defense has been okay. He's probably a low-end Darren Collison or maybe on that same level, but Darren Collison's a little bit more consistent. And that's saying something because Darren Collison has been an up-and-down roller coaster as well. I don't know. I can't put the any of these lines together to where this makes sense. Aaron Bursky just tweeted out there that he's hearing that this trade was mainly due put on the shoulders of Vivek Ranadive, that was who was really steering this deal for the Kings. But I just don't get it. I think you're already seeing an uprising right now on the Kings Twitter sphere of what in the world are they doing?
Bobby Marks just came across and said with the Drew Holiday contract, they might not even be able to keep Cousins next year. So I don't know where you got your numbers, but I'm looking at Bobby Marks' breakdown, and it's showing that unless they trade somebody else, they're not going to be able to keep
him. They are going to trade somebody else. They're willing to trade away anybody else to keep that three. That's what I'm telling you.
No,
they're
I agree with you. I'm just saying right now they're not in that position.
But. No, what I'm saying is they have expiring contracts, and they have pieces that they can trade away to where they can still keep Drew Holiday. I'm not saying they're going to. I'm just saying that's what they have the capability of still finding ways to keep him. They have the assets to where they can keep him. That's what's turning my head right now is that the Kings, one, they made a team in their conference better, which again doesn't make any sense because now you got to compete with the guy four games out of the year, and then you wanted to rebuild your culture, which you've definitely done. You've taken a big cloud that was over the head of the franchise. And you know, honestly, I think what's really gotten them is you saw the team play better, especially with DeMarcus Cousins through that latter half of getting the 16 technicals, right? Play better. Who'd they beat? They beat the Celtics without Cousins, right? Wasn't it the Celtics?
And yeah, they beat the Celtics without Cousins, and then they
made that huge comeback when Cousins was on the bench. Yeah. Against the Hawks.
I'll tell you what, this is a weird, weird day in Sacramento. a side note that somebody tweeted out, and the Sacramento Kings all-time leader in games played shall remain Jason Thompson.
I'm literally, I don't know. I mean, I saw someone tweet this out earlier, and I had to retweet it because it's true. You're a Kings fan right now. I know you're probably crying, and you're coming to this show for why would the Kings do this deal? It makes no sense. The only thing that makes sense about it is that they wanted to acquire draft picks, which they did for this year, 2017, first and second. And they really wanted Buddy Hield. They got that. They wanted culture change with Dave Yeager. They want to go through a youth movement. They've basically done that. So let's just look over the roster of what they're going to have next year, right? They're going to have Garrett Temple. They're going to have Matt Barnes. These are 100% going to be here because with Tolliver and Aflalo, those guys have only like $1.2 and $2.3 million guaranteed. So those guys can be bought out. So, excuse me, Barnes, Temple, Willie Cauley-Stein, Costa Kufis, the Rooks, Scal, Yorgos, and Malachi, and that's it. Am I missing and potentially Rudy Gay, right? Potentially Rudy Gay?
Yeah, potentially Rudy Gay if he decides to opt in, which is up to his medical status more than anything else.
I think if he's able to start working out for teams throughout the summer, he's opting out. There's no reason why he should stay here, especially if he's out.
It's all up to his medical status. If he stays in Sacramento, the only reason would be he's not healing as fast as he should.
And so let's just assume he's off the table because if I'm Rudy Gay, I would not want to be there. And then you go Brogdon Bogdanovic, right? So he's going to be eight because he'll be coming over. Then you got to look at the draft. You're not getting a top three pick because if they do get a top three pick for some odd reason, the Pelicans get that, they go straight to the Pelicans because it's top three protected, which is even stupider of this trade. On top of that, if the Kings start tanking, which it looks like they're starting to do, they can't tank worse than the Sixers. And even if they don't tank worse than the Sixers, if they have just one or two, three pinballs or ping pong balls less in that little drawing or whatever, that lottery, and they are higher picked than the Sixers, they have a higher pick. Let's say the Kings draft three with their pick and the Sixers draft four. The Sixers get to swap it. the Sixers literally get to swap it. And let's say the Kings somehow find a way to keep winning games, right? They land inside that top 10 area, and they have a chance to fall out of the top 10 for some reason. Because Dave Yeager, you know what he can do with mediocre talent, as we saw in Memphis last year. And no offense to these guys, but that's what they are. If they keep winning games, say 9-10, and they have a chance of falling out of the 10th in the lottery, that pick goes to Chicago. So I think the Pelicans are going to definitely get better, but that's not even a guarantee. They get a lot better. They still have to make it in. They have to still pass the Kings in the standing, which I think they're only a game back, right? They're right there. I'm just saying it's going to take a little while for the Pelicans to get adjusted to that new team. But whatever this franchise is doing is a huge question mark. Buddy Hield, for those who play fantasy, you might want to go pick him up and go pick him up now. He's going to be a must-add player. He's going to be shooting three-pointers left and right. I just don't expect this to be the last move. I think leading up to the trade deadline on Thursday, you're going to hear Kostas Koufos in deals. You're going to hear Ben McLemore in a lot of deals. Another deal is going to be made. They're going to try to acquire as many draft picks as they can. And honestly, you look at their draft history, I don't even like that idea either. I really don't. Joe, can you name a draft pick after DeMarcus Cousins that has really turned out to be a good pick?
No, not one, and nobody else can either. It's
Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah,
Thomas exactly. Robinson. Jimmer Fredette. Thomas Robinson. I mean, you could say Isaiah Thomas, but they gave him away for nothing.
Yeah.
He's an all-star for the East. So I'm not even going to bring Isaiah Thomas into this because that's just going to make the situation even worse. I mean, what made the situation worse for me is reading that Ramona Shelburne tweet. The fact that Jahlil Okafor, or the Sixers, was offered that same deal for Jahlil Okafor, and they turned that down because they know that deal is garbage.
The only person who really won in this are the power forwards and centers in the draft who are now going to be looked at a little bit higher. So you look at I'm trying to go down the list here. Lauri Markkanen out of Arizona. You look at, you know, top 10 guys. You look at, hold on, I'm rolling down here. Yeah, Justin Patton. I mean, who else won out of this? Everything else in this draft is guards. I'm going down the list here, and you got a couple of wings, but this entire top 15, top 20 guys in the draft. Okay, you got another powerful. I mean, I'm just saying, like, this is insane. I really don't even know where to go with this. I tell you, the other guy who won out of this might be getting some extra minutes is the 19-year-old kid, Georgia, Papagiannis. Wow, I can't even say his first name right now. I'm fumbling through people's names. I'm telling you, this is a weird, weird deal. It was obviously a culture change more than it was a personnel change. It was a shift in the way they think about what they want to do with this team. And many people have been saying they wanted this for a long time. I don't think anybody wanted it to happen for a nickel on the dollar. I'm very baffled at what they got. A lot of people wanted DeMarcus Cousins to be traded. It was about a 50-50 split of people who wanted him to stay and people who wanted him gone. But I don't think even the people who wanted him gone, the worst, I don't think they wanted him to get nothing for it. I'm seeing a lot of people mention the Ellis trade from the Warriors and say, "Oh, look how that worked out." Yeah, well, you know, this is the Kings. They don't draft like everybody else. Papagiannis is the example of that right now, and you just named the rest of them, Jimmer Fredette, and you know what I mean? Like, this I don't know, man. I'm looking, okay, top 15 or 20 guys in NBA, the draft, there's only two or
Pelicans
three.
Pelicans now looking to trade for Terrence Jones. You couldn't get Terrence Jones in that deal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I'm just saying.
I'm not even editing out your audible exhale there because that stayed in the podcast. I'm telling you, this is painful. Tyreke Evans, Buddy Hield, Langston Galloway, and a first that's protected for the top three. Well, the Pelicans aren't going to be in the top three now, so there's no worry there. Although it says it on paper, that's no worry. They're not going to be worse than everybody with the two big men that they have now. So that's not a worry. What is a worry is what the Kings do with these pieces. And And again, and the culture has shifted. So let's see where that culture goes. Maybe that's a good thing. It's really hard to see the good side right now. I'm really trying to say maybe there's a chance that this culture shift is a good thing. If you go down Grant Napier's Twitter feed, he sure seems like it's the greatest thing that's happened in a while. He seems very happy with this. He's coming out with all positive stuff about how they needed to get rid of him. Nobody liked playing with him. And
who's saying that right now?
Grant Napier.
Yeah, see, the thing with Grant, like, this is where Grant is losing a little bit of credibility with me. And I'm not saying that he doesn't know a little bit, right? But early in his year...
Hey, hold on one second. I'm going to come up with something here.
All-star questions first, please. Yeah. All-star game questions.
What other questions we got?
Hey, DeMarcus, just kind of sum up your all-star experience and...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Can you
That's what I...
Can you sum up your All-Star experience? What it was like
around
the
three
players?
It was amazing, man. I enjoyed the city of New Orleans. You know, I love it here in New Orleans.
So on that clip, which I guess it's not going to play much more, it's not going to play the rest of it, but it shows him his face when he got even told. His agent comes over and leans over and tells him in his ear, "Hey, you just got traded. You can either talk about it right now or you don't have to." And Cousins' response was, "It's whatever." The shock.
Yeah, he also says that, right? Like, I saw him throw his head right up after he was just asked that by Jason Jones too. And one of his responses was like, "If I'm ever blessed enough to play in a city like that, then you know that is what it is." But it doesn't happen. You know, he played it smart. He's always been, you know, decent with the media and the fact that he picks and chooses what he wants to say, but when he has something to say, he makes sure he lets it known. I don't want to, like, we can continue rambling about what these guys are saying and what they're doing. I'm trying to look at the bigger picture now. And again, I want to talk about the draft picks, because I think that's where we can kind of start wrapping up a little bit. But they get a 2017. They're going to have two first round picks in this year's draft, presumably both in the lottery. De'Aaron Fox is my favorite point guard right now in this draft after the two top guys, Fultz and Ball. So I love De'Aaron Fox out of Kentucky. I think he's nice. He's a mixture of John Wall and Dennis Schroeder. But, I mean, this was an emergency podcast. And you're looking at those picks, and then you look at the history of it, and it you're trying to find a silver lining from this deal, and you just can't see it. That's the only way I'm thinking picks. I'm thinking what's in the draft, and I'm thinking, will the Kings even make the smart decision? And the right decision and the smart decision both don't make any sense for the Kings. They don't know what they're doing. That's how they're coming off right now. And I'm just being honest. That's what they're doing. We talk about Grant Napier. Grant Napier has lost a lot of credibility with me. He's had drama with DeMarcus Cousins. He's come out on a show countless times and said, "He's immature. He doesn't know what he's doing. He wants to come up and yell at me because I talk bad about him." And yeah, you know what? DeMarcus Cousins was immature. He was a kid. He was a guy. I know stories told from other people about what he has done during practices and how he's made another team out cry, how he's gotten into fights with former teammates. Yes, this is true. 100% true. But at the same time, who was it? It was who just did that recent article for ESPN, where he was talking to his former players in the...
I can't think of his name right now.
I can't think of his name, but that piece that he wrote where he's literally asking players like Garrett Temple, Darren Galston, what they think of DeMarcus Cousins, they say that he's maturing. Like, that's the thing. It's like, he was a kid. He's only 24 years old, 25 years old? He's still young. He's not like he's going to be the man and know everything and what he's supposed to say. His maturity level's low. We all know that. But at the same time, he's growing. And most of all, the talent level and the talent level you got in return, it just doesn't make any sense. I put a poll on Twitter right now. It's been up for literally 4 minutes, right? I put feelings about this Kings trade. Furious, confused, fine, not a Kings fan anymore.
Confused.
First is furious, right? Oh, no, actually, you're right. First is confused. You know what second is? Not a Kings fan anymore. That's second place right now. Not a Kings fan anymore.
I that's crazy, but so you were asking who's on the team next year? They're still gonna have a Flalo. They're still gonna have Temple, Tolliver, Barnes, Willie, Costa, Papa G, and Malachi. And that's the only roster spots that they have locked up right now, paid next year. So, again, you know, it's – and Barnes is really on a player option, so whether or not he stays, he probably will. But and, of course, Rudy, if he ends up opting in.
Kings need to wave. I have this odd feeling the Kings are going to waive Matt Barnes.
Well, it's a player option.
Like I said, I still think that they're going to waive him.
Yeah.
But I just have this feeling. So – yeah, that's the news, guys. DeMarcus Cousins is no longer the Sacramento part of the Sacramento Kings. Our intro now has to change. I hope you guys have been enjoying a lot of the content we've been putting out this last couple of weeks. We've had so many guests. We've had Josh Eberle, Oliver Maroney, Gerald Borguet, Borguet. We've had so many new guys. And then, Joe, you got to meet up with Sean again and have him on the show last week. That was an awesome podcast. And now we have this news. So I think the best way to wrap up this show, this great little 30-minute emergency pod on the feelings of this trade and what this can mean for the Kings. Joe, your final thoughts.
Man, confused. Absolutely confused. I'm going to have to, like everybody else, I'm going to have to wait and see what shakes out over the next couple days, if there's any other moves that are going to happen. But this is really confusing. I'd like to say at least it's a positive step in the direction of, you know, I don't know. I can't even be positive right now. I don't know. I'm just lost. This is an absolutely baffling move by a franchise that has always been baffling. And I really do think that they've done a lot to hurt themselves right now, but we'll see how it works out. So that's my final thought.
My final thoughts are this. Your head is probably down hanging right now because DeMarcus Cousins is no longer there. Each game you watch is probably going to be the most boring game ever, except for the fact that you'll be watching it and saying, if we only had that one guy we can throw the ball to, he's gone. He's not there anymore. Cross your fingers and hope that your one guy that you thought was a good pick. I mean, we've seen two chances now, right, where Vlade Divac has had draft picks. Willie Cauley-Stein and the whole picks of last year with Yorgos Papagiannis being number one, then Malachi, then Scal, and then Isaiah Cousins. Like, Malachi and Scal were probably the two better picks, and yet they still chose Yorgos over them. You're now getting a return Tyreek Evans, who's probably going to be limited in minutes due to that knee injury. And Buddy Hield, who is reportedly, in their eyes, a top five pick and a top five player growing in this league. Again, hopefully he can turn into that. And then hopefully a top 10 pick, which, again, is a huge question mark because the Pelicans are looking to make a playoff push. And they're looking to make that eighth seed, which means they're not going to be a top 10 pick. They're going to be latter half of the lottery. And now you have to hope, okay, there are players in this draft. Can Vlade get in there and make the right decisions? Because, again, as reported earlier by Aaron Bruschi, friend of the show, this decision by the Kings was heavily decided on by Vivek Ranadive. He was the one steering this, saying, I don't know if I want to make this deal done or not. So Vlade at some point, or someone at some point, needs to step in and say, is this a smart deal or not? Because it wasn't, and now it's done. And now you have to cross your fingers and hope that something's going to change again and that they know what they're doing in this rebuild. That's it. It's hopes. It's hopes at this point. Hopes and prayers. I have no positives other than the fact that, hey, we get to see Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins on the same floor together. I mean, that's going to be a fun little lineup, right? Like, you know how we used to be so excited to see that matchup?
Yeah, now Anthony Davis doesn't have to worry about getting bombed on by DeMarcus anymore. Now he gets to play with him.
Dude, these are two big guys that can knock down three-point shots and can take over the game at any time. Like, on paper, it looks nice. I really want to see how they're going to work it because I don't know if Alvin Gentry is the guy that's going to be able to work that out at all. But, man, that'd be nice. I don't even know who the Kings starting five is next week. I just thought of that. Like, because Buddy Hield and them should be, like, if the trade goes through, like, let's say if it gets called up, they still should be there by Tuesday, practice Wednesday, and then they have a game on, what, Friday?
Yeah.
Or is it Thursday? No, it's Thursday. They play Thursday. Will they even play? And even if they do, how many minutes do they get? What's the starting lineup? Do you go with the Ty Lawson, Darren Collison lineup? No more Omer Caspi, so you don't have a shooter anymore other than Matt Barnes. And is Malachi going to start getting minutes? Because they're going through a youth. That's another thing we didn't even talk about, Joe. There's so many things that you just keep popping in my head for these final thoughts. They want to go into this youth movement, right? One of their best youth players was probably Malachi Richardson, right?
Yeah.
Probably Willie Cauley-Stein also, right? Both those guys were seeing limited minutes on the floor because Dave Yeager did not want to play his rookies. Dave Yeager did not want to play the young guys. He was making a playoff push. I want to know his decisions on this. I'm excited. That's what I'm excited for now. I'm excited to see the statement from the head coach and what they're going to start doing and how they're going to start running their lineups and what they're doing for the future of this team. Because if I'm any of those players right now, I'm acting just like their agent. I don't trust a word that they're saying. You've literally said something to someone's face and in the media publicly over and over again. But behind their backs and behind closed doors, you're making deals that sends them away. And I know it's a business, but still, these are relationships you have to build. And you're going off to agents who also run other players. They're going to talk. They're going to feel like they can't trust you. And I feel like the Kings have just done that. And again, hopes and prayers. That's all you can have for this team right now is hopes and prayers. Go on my Twitter, at VM Center, and place your vote. Are you furious, confused, fine, or not a Kings fan anymore after this deal where DeMarcus Cousins has been traded to the New Orleans Pelicans for Tyreke Evans, Buddy Hield, Langston Galloway, a 2017 first and second round pick? And yeah, let me know what you guys are feeling on all social media platforms of at VM Center. Joe, where can the fans find you online?
You can find me at SackSportsMorgan on Twitter, and that's all for now, guys.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group, just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.